Hey there, welcome to What's the Truth. My name is Jessica Hoddle, and today is all about learning to find the voice of truth in a world full of lies. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. I've learned that our life will follow our most dominant thoughts. And I learned this probably about 3 or 4 years ago when I was going through my own healing journey. And I shared this story many times, but to give you just a quick little synopsis of the story is I went through a healing journey of passing out on an airplane and dealing with thyroid, adrenal, pancreas issues where, I mean, I was tired all the time. I didn't have energy. I was having benign positional vertigo. And it was really symptom on symptom on symptom. And I just remember thinking, well, if God gave this to me, he must want to teach me a lesson. And with that kind of thinking, it made me realize that I spent most of my time searching for an answer that I wasn't going to find. I was trying to pass a test that I thought God was giving me. And what really was happening, it was taking my focus and it was keeping me distracted from the main point. We can't want healing more than the healer, right? And I spent most of my time searching for the healing versus for the healer. I would pray for healing, but out of my mouth would come words of sickness. I'd pray, God, help heal me or take this away from me. But then just a few moments later, I would talk about how sick I was. And the most important piece is it's not that you deny your senses. It's not that I was denying my reality. But to live by faith isn't to live by what we feel. It's not to live by what we see. And I wanted to continue to pursue the spiritual lens. But I had to make sure that what I was thinking aligned with scripture, that what I was saying aligned with scripture as well. Did my words speak healing over my body, or did they bring more death and destruction? With what I was thinking about, did my thoughts produce more fear, or did they produce more faith in me? So it's very important that we understand that our life will follow our most dominant thought. And I want to break this down because you're probably thinking, well, I just want to know how to discern God's voice, you know, in the crowd. But we kind of got to break it down a little bit of how we get there. So when we think about doctrine, and I'm going to break the definition down. So definition of doctrine is basically the unchangeable true teachings of Christianity. It's a set of beliefs. It's a doctrine, right? It's a set of beliefs that we carry. The definition of beliefs is trust, faith, or confidence in someone or something. So it's statement, something is true, or that something exists. And I think that this is where we have to ask ourselves, what do we believe is true? And where does our belief come from? Because that forms our doctrine. It forms a set of beliefs. So we have to know these each individual pieces, how we view God. What do we view of the scripture, right? Are we holding it through the lens of eisegesis or exegesis? How are we going to scripture? So doctrine is basically the unchangeable teachings, true teachings of Christianity. And it's a set of beliefs that we carry in our doctrine. And then beliefs are just that confident, that we're confident in someone or something, we trust and we have faith. And it's a statement meaning that something is true and that something exists. And then to break it down even further, when we think of, okay, the voice of truth and a world full of lies, we have to start thinking also about, well, what does truth sound like? How do I know if what I'm hearing is true? And how do I know if what I'm hearing is a lie? And this is one of the easiest ways that I like to explain it. When we hear truth, it should bring the fruit of the Spirit. It should bring peace, joy, kindness, goodness. When we hear truth, it should also bring reconciliation. It should bring forgiveness. It should bring healing. It should bring restoration. It should bring redemption. When we think of truth, it's always kind of closing the circle of something. It is closing the circle of pain into healing. It's setting us free from something. When we think of lies, we can think of destruction. We can think of fear. We can think of anxiety. We can think of overwhelm. When we focus on one thing, whatever our focus is going to impact how we experience it in our body. So again, if I'm believing a lie, it might cause me to shrink back. If I'm believing fear to be true, which is an outward expression of what I'm feeling inward, if I'm afraid of what other people think, if, you know, I believe the lie that if I show up, then somebody will say something, then I'm shrinking myself back. I'm hiding myself because I'm believing a lie. When I think of the promised land and the Israelites, I mean, God provided every day and there were still shortcomings, but I think the biggest thing that kept them out of the promised land was fear. It was fear of what they saw with their physical eyes versus what God told them was true and what Caleb and Joshua saw versus the other 10 spies. Lies will always cause us to shrink back. Destruction, again, just kind of destroying any relationship. You know, we go in our head and our thoughts, that person said this to you, so they must hate you. You know, those rabbit trails, right, that we go in. But we think about truth, it is that what is right, what is pure, what is good. And it leads us down this path of finding peace, finding joy, no matter what our circumstance says or is. Now, when I think about the voice of truth, I love this analogy and example because we can relate to it on a personal relationship level. You know, if you're in a store and your kid is three aisles over or your child and they say your name, you will hear it in a crowd no matter where you are. If you're with your best friend and they call your name, if you're with your husband, it doesn't matter. You know their voice because of the intimate relationship you have. It doesn't mean romantic. It just means intimate. You guys know each other on a personal level. You've hung out many times. You've spent time together. We know the voice of truth because of the time we spend with God. And maybe you've heard this before, and maybe you're just like, oh yeah, I know that. How do I apply this? Sometimes we want a answer that's going to provide a quick solution. But I want to feel okay right now. I want to have this right now. Learning to discern the truth is going to take time because reading His word and building a relationship with Him is going to take time. I love the story of Pilate and Jesus when, you know, Pilate encounters Jesus and he's kind of deciding, okay, why don't these people like him? Why are they saying, you know, he's evil and he's done all these crimes? Like, what evil has he done? And in one particular gospel, it's talking, you see this conversation and Jesus, Pilate asks him a question, and I'm paraphrasing this, and basically just saying, like, are you what they say you are? And Jesus asks a question back to him. And he's kind of wanting to know the intent of Pilate's question. Like, why are you asking this? Is it because you genuinely want to know? Or is it because you're just trying to please the crowd? And so a little bit later in the conversation, Pilate asks him a question and Jesus just responds by saying, my kingdom is not of this world. And anybody who does not listen to me does not hear my voice. But everybody that does listen to me hears my voice. And what he's saying basically is that he is the embodiment of truth, and to govern ourselves with anything other than what Jesus says, what the Bible says, is to govern ourselves with a lie. And of course, again, I was paraphrasing their dialogue with each other, but the main truth to understand is that Jesus was saying, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He was saying that his kingdom is not of this world. That means that ours isn't either. We are in the world, but not of it, is what scripture tells us. So when we reject anything in the Bible, it's to govern ourselves with a lie. Therefore, that's why it's important that every time we have feelings, every time we have a situation or an argument or whatever it is that we're experiencing, that we go to the truth of the Gospels first. What does the Word of God say? How is this played out in His character? Where do we see this in the stories? How have those that have gone before us handled this situation? So for us to hear the truth, we have to know what Jesus says because He's the embodiment of it. If we reject Him, we govern ourselves with a lie. Even when we love Jesus and have accepted Him, when we don't receive or process or do the things according to His word, we govern ourselves with a lie. If we believe we have to live anxious or in fear or condemned or ashamed all the time for what we've done, that's not the gospel. That's to govern ourselves with a lie. And that's where the enemy would like to keep us. Truth by definition is exclusive. And if everything is true, if there's multiple beliefs and multiple truths out there, then really nothing is true because you can't have more than one thing that is true. So everything could be false. Nothing is false, right? Truth by definition is exclusive. So we get to test and discern everything against the gospel. You know, when we think of the voice of truth in a world full of lies, you know, one perfect example is the world tells us how we can only not love our neighbor if we do XYZ. And if we don't do XYZ, then we must not be operating in love. And if we hold a standard of love, especially nowadays, according to what we feel or what we think or by transactional love, then we've missed the point. Because we serve a God that His love is unconditional. And I don't have to, and you don't have to love somebody the same way because each person receives love very differently. So one lie is that, well, you only love me if you do XYZ. And what I've learned is that the world lives in or. So for example, you love me or else you don't. Again, or else. You do this for me, or else I won't like you. You agree with me, or else I don't want anything to do with you. But the voice of truth lives in both and, which is the beautiful thing that we get to do with people that disagree with us, that try to convince us of other ways. So the gospel looks like love one another and be in the world, but not of it. Preach the truth with and love. We don't have to agree, and I still get to love and come alongside you. The most important thing that we want to always think about is reconciliation. How are we solving the problem, or how are we solving the conflict that we are dealing with, whether with each other or with people? And I understand that not every situation is being able to be reconciled, but forgiveness can happen. And we want to make sure that we're aligning ourselves and listening and learning to understand the voice of truth so that we can know what lies look like. Because guess what, guys? They are subtle. They can be so subtle in how they are delivered, especially nowadays in social media and not having all the context. But when we think about how the world operates, very circumstantial, very in the or category, it's like almost a conflict goal. You know, you are not for me, then I'm against you. And it really causes a lot of separations because we allow our flesh and our pain to get in the way, which prevents healing, right? That leads to reconciliation. And when we think of living in the gospel of both and, which is healthy conflict, especially which is healthy conflict with a common goal of reconciliation. The gospel is a gospel of reconciliation. We are reconciling people that do not know Jesus, do not know God, back to Him through Jesus. It's reconciliation. It's bringing them back to their original design. It's reconciling them to the love of God. So the voice of truth lives in both ands. We don't get to just choose when we want to love people or turn it off or to speak truth and love. We see often spoken in truth without the love or love without the truth. But very often, or very rarely, I should say, do we see them both together? For us to begin to find the voice of truth, the first step is we have to know what the truth is. when you're thinking of a particular topic, scenario, situation, how to deal with a friend, relationship that is painful, how do you have conversation with these people? We have to understand that, yes, the Bible isn't going to give you this is how you need to say this, but it's our foundation. It's our root system. It's how we grow and bear good fruit. And so when the world gets really loud and is trying to tell you what to do, we have to be able to discern what is good. It's why I keep referencing the episode I did with Felicia Masonheimer on discernment, because it's so important, especially nowadays where so many people are not really meeting, maybe in person, or we're taking everything online. And we want to make sure that we can discern what the world is trying to tell us and what we think we need to be doing according to all these different opinions, so we can listen to what God is calling us to do so that we can act on that and only that. Truth always brings healing. Lies always bring destruction and separation. Is what you're hearing bringing separation of some kind, or is what you're hearing bringing reconciliation? Is it bringing healing? Is it providing a breeding ground for hope? Our words matter. What we say matters. You know, it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But doubt also comes by hearing. And no matter if you're hearing it through words or you're reading it through a screen, we have to get quiet, so to speak. We have to shut down other things that keep trying to tell us what this means or what that means or what we should be doing, so that we can learn to find the voice of truth. We can't just show up one day and hopefully find it. It's this intentional pursuit. It's waking up to pursue, to go, okay, what is it that I'm thinking right now? And why do I feel sad? Why am I shrugging my shoulders? Why do I have so much worry? This is not a simple ABC formula. This is, again, sanctification of the word, working in your heart, working in your soul, coming out of your mouth so that you can begin to live it out every single day. I am not here to say that I get it right, because when I was walking through my healing journey physically, I would be shaming myself for being frustrated, for having all these feelings and feeling like I wasn't living in faith. And I had to process through all of that of like, what is God saying? I kept things very quiet. I didn't share a lot on social media because guess what? I didn't need any more opinions to what I was going through. It is absolutely okay to heal privately before sharing publicly. Take the time, learn to discern what the voice of truth is. So get in your Bible, think about all the sources that you keep hearing information from, and take them down. What is God saying to you about the situation? What is going on that is bringing either truth or a lie? What thoughts are you thinking, and what are they producing in your life? And how can you take the scripture that you're reading and begin to apply it to your life? What does it look like to live in patience with love? What does it look like for love to endure all things? And I know I keep talking about love, but maybe somebody needs to hear this. Again, the world lives in the or, but we as believers get to live in both. And to find the voice of truth is to spend time with God so that you know without a doubt, no matter how far he seems away, just like a child or a husband in three aisles over, you know what his voice is saying, so that you can tune in to that frequency and stay there, versus trying to constantly discern and find that frequency so that you can turn it right away, because you know that you're starting to head down a path that doesn't bear fruit. This episode is really just meant to encourage you and to get you started, to maybe help you realize some different things about or, like the world living in or and us living in both and, of the things that we get to choose. Learning to find the voice of truth in a world full of lies isn't something, like I said, that you're going to wake up tomorrow and being like, yes, I feel super confident. That, you know, the relationship with God is not an overnight success story. It's a lifelong sanctification process. And that's good news. I pray today that you shut down all the other voices so that you know what you and God believe about what you're called to do, about what He's saying about this situation. If this episode blessed you, thank you for taking the time to leave a rating and review. It helps other people discover the podcast just like you. And I always want to say thank you for being here. It's such an encouragement to my heart to have you guys reach out to me on Instagram at Jessica Huddle and let me know what your favorite episode is or further questions that you have for me. And I wanted to make sure that you headed to the link in the show notes below so that you can grab my free guide, Chase God, Not Your Feelings, which is all about how to live by faith and not by what you feel. And remember, challenge the way you think to change the way you live.